Girls live all the way from the beautiful state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time. So we're going to jump straight into it. So today, guys and girls, what we see to people that's catching this live, we're seeing that the market has made a nice little run today. And as you're coming in, we're going to do the exact same thing we do every time. We're going to talk about, we're going to give a roll call to everybody that catches this live. But it's a very interesting day today. What happened is the market ran up 1,600 points on the Dow Jones, 7% gain on the S&P 500. One of the largest days that we've seen since March 13th, all based around the coronavirus fears are starting, cases are starting to slow down. So everybody is starting to wonder, Prince, has the market rebounded? What's going on? How are things looking? So this is what I wanted to say to everybody. Come on and do it live. That's what we're going to talk about today, that catch it live or that catch the playback. And the thing about it is we're going to give y'all some great, great information today. We're going to look at all the major indexes. We're going to see the indexes, and we're going to talk about the ones that have a great job. Not does a great job, but we're going to talk about the ones that some ways to profit off of a rebound, how to prepare, how to get ready, and how to profit off of a rebound, right? So the thing about it is the one thing about the rebound is it takes two things for the rebound. One thing is you got to know what to buy. And more importantly, you got to know when to buy it. So timing is everything. You got to know what to buy and when to buy it, right? So that's how you can catch the bottom perfectly. So we're going to look at all the particular indexes. So all 11 indexes, for all the guys and girls out there that don't know or that may not follow the show and know the indexes like that, we have 11 indexes, major indexes. We got energy, technology, finances, healthcare, consumer staples, real estate, utilities, transportation, communication, industrial, and material. So the first thing I want to do, what industry or what sector failed the most year to date? I want to see who has been affected the most by the coronavirus. And the one that has been affected the most by the coronavirus is energy. Energy has gone down 48% year to date, and followed by financials and transportation. Transportation, that's where you have all your airlines, Uber, all that good stuff like that. Energy has a lot of oil in it, and financials have a lot of banks. So we're going to take a look at some of those things, and we're going to break them all down. But let's do our roll call like we do always on our live participants that are tuning in, that are catching us from around the globe. So first we got Kevin. Kevin says, Prince, talk some sense into me. I'm being patient, but days like this, I grit my teeth. Of course, when you see the market, people ask me on Friday, Prince, what do you think? Should you jump into the market? But what I learned in investing, it's not about how much you make. It's about how much you don't lose, right? I'm going to give you a quick scenario before I jump into everybody else's thing. So you take three people, right? Let's say year one, person one makes 50%. Person two makes 10%. Year three or year two, the second year, person one loses 50%. Person two loses zero. Year three, person one makes 10%. Year three, person two makes 10%. Right? So when you go through and you look at that, the first year, one person went up 50%, another person only went up 10. But the second year, a person went up 100, you know, 50, they lost 50%, another person lost zero. And when you do the math and when you add out, you will see person two beat the person, even though the other person had better up years. The reason why is not all about how much you make, it's about how much you don't lose. So even though on Friday, yes, I would have wished I could have grabbed some XPXL. I would have made 20-some% in one day. That would have been awesome. But it's not all about what you make. It's about not losing. So sometimes when I'm not too iffy about things, if it went the opposite of the way I wanted it to go, I would have said, man, I shouldn't have done anything. So don't get so caught up on, oh, man, I missed out. Don't let the fear of missing out catch you, right? Just look what they say. The market transition money from the impatient to the patient. So right now, when everybody's being greedy, you're watching. So we're going to get into that. We got JW. JW says, what's up, Prince? What's going on, JW? I am Warren from Oakland. Hello, Warren from Oakland, chilling in the rain. Oh, it's raining out there in Oakland. I'm sorry to hear that. Proud Dad, that's my guy out there in Atlanta. What's up, Prince? Atlanta here. Can't stay long. En route to the gym. Proud Dad, it's a gym open? You going to the gym? Okay, cool. All right, Proud Dad. Now we got Tony Siri, Investment Education for the Youth, Cleveland, checking in. All right. Nice to see you, Tony Siri. Pauline Need says, hello, coming from Brooklyn, New York. Okay, we got Brooklyn in the house. We have Diego Grill. Good afternoon. He's from Argentina. We're going to take Athena. She's from Georgia in the house. I was looking at all the major indexes. You are right on time. All right. Thank you. So anyway, we got the Tech Monkey coming in from Cali, St. Louis. Miss Beverly, how you doing? She said, where is Max B? They asked her, where is Max B at? Max B, where you at? James, Prince, should we take advantage of these unexplained highs and sell to repurchase at a better price? We're going to get into that, James. Beverly said, Max is very popular. Okay, nice. Okay, I see Maxton. They checking for you, Max. LK Raw, I did not expect this game. Got puts at today's highs. However, the Feds and the unlimited checkbook may make another roundup tomorrow. We're going to talk about that too, ladies and gentlemen. Can you do a show on options? James Bond, you know what? I will. That's a good thing right there. Staten Island is in the house. Proud Dad said, well, the gym is at my house. That's it. Okay, all right, Proud Dad. I was about to say, like, is the gym is open? Ivory Coast Prince, Arlington, Texas, checking in. Okay. Okay, Joe. Hey, what's going on, Joe Terry? What's going on? Glad to see you checking in. He said, I'm taking notes. Got it. We got Clearwater, Florida in the house. Imperial DJ Show. Okay. Tony says he's investing in marathon. Investing is a marathon, not a sprint. You are correct. Okay, she's saying we're going to get into that question. We got Hawaii in the house. We got Ms. Shay Star. She's from Japan. Japan, Hawaii, Virginia. He said, you know I'm in the building. Max B, they was asking for it. It's like, where is Max? Got it. Abraham, where you been? I've been waiting for your next live chat. I pulled a trigger Friday, XPXL. Man, you know what? That's good, Abraham. I hope you sold that today. You made a nice profit. We got Ms. Shane, Mentors in the building. She said, is this an example of a dead cat bounce? We're going to talk about all of that, ladies and gentlemen. Howdy from California. We got Memphis, Tennessee in the house taking notes. Okay, got it. All right, so we did our roll call for everybody that's catching it, that's coming in live. So the first thing we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to look at what reports came out today. Got to get a little sip of water there. My mouth gets dry a lot. So we're going to take out what reports came out today. So a report came out today from the, let me make sure I got this organization right. It's the Mortgage, yes. The Mortgage Bankers Association put out a very interesting product today that I'm going to pull up for you guys and girls to see. Now, we're going to look at it. People are saying, Prince, this is a dead cat bounce, all of the good stuff. But let me kind of pace myself. I don't want to jump all over the place. But first, let's see, what do I think a rebound is? A rebound, what has to happen for the market to rebound and for us to catch the bottom? I think it's four things that have to happen. Of course, I took notes for today's show. So I believe four things that has to happen, right? First of all, the coronavirus has to peak. Not only does the coronavirus has to peak, it has to start a decline. Once the coronavirus peaks and has a decline, we have to have a vaccination. And number three, people has to return. Number four, people have to return to work. So we have to go back to work. We have to, coronavirus has to peak, start to decline, and we're going to need a vaccination. So if they came out tomorrow and said, hey, man, you know, not that many people dying of the coronavirus, America's open back for business. You have to restore the confidence in American people. The financial system is nothing if there's no confidence in the financial system. And what I mean by having confidence in the financial system is if people don't trust their money in the bank, it would happen what happened in 1929. What crashed the banks in 1929? 1929 was the trigger to the Great Depression, the worst stock market crash we've ever seen. Why did it crash so bad? Because people lost trust into the financial system. Everybody wanted their money from the banks. If you was driving to the grocery store and you saw a sign on Bank of America's store says, Bank of America is closed, you're going to run to your bank. When that person runs to their bank, now, and we know banks don't have that much cash on hand to give everybody their money. So there has to be trust within the financial system. If trust is lost within the financial system, that's what causes panic. And when you have panic, that's the quickest way to shut down the market. What did the government do to make sure that didn't happen again? They established the SEC. They established the FDIC, right? Insuring people, hey, look, even if the market does crash, the government is going to insure your bank account up to $400,000, right? $250,000, right? And they're doing that to have, so people can have trust within the financial system. Prince, what does that mean to today? In the healthcare industry, if people, I'm not going to just jump in there, jump on a weight bench and be out here working out at the gym and sending my kids back to school and then just hope they don't, you know, contact coronavirus. People want to know, you have to restore confidence in America. So that's what I believe. I think we got to have confidence in America. The deaths have to peak. The deaths have to decline. And then we have to have a vaccination. Right now, I don't know where we at on any of those things. Today, the market just ran up. And this is a, if anybody out there considering the world of investing, the market ran up 1,600 points today just because they thought the coronavirus was slowing. Just imagine when we get a vaccination, how high the market will go. The bull, what I mean by the bull is the upside. The bear is the downside. The bull will win in the long run. So this is give you more inclination if you're a bull market participant. If you're someone who's looking to invest for the long term, this lets you know anytime we can get this corona thing under control, we can get America back to work, then the market is going to run off for new highs. Now, before we get into that, I want to talk about Prince. Is this a dead cat bounce or whatnot, or whatever the case may be? I have to look at financial reports. Right now, I don't have enough confidence in what I'm seeing. Right now, we just had unemployment report come out on Friday. Unemployment rose to 4.4, and it only included, unemployment rose to 4.4, and it only included until March 12th. So unemployment rose. And it did not include 600 million, not 600, but 6 million jobless claims, because March Josh report only went to March 12th. So from March 12th to March 31st, we saw 6 million jobless claims reports filed. And they told you that. And I put that up on our YouTube channel where it said verbatim, it has not included that into the unemployment rate. So unemployment has risen without even counting coronavirus effects yet. So we have to see more unemployment is what the first thing. So when I'm seeing unemployment, that's a key indicator of a weakening economy. Because if unemployment is up, who's going to be buying houses? Who's going to be buying cars? When I'm seeing all these businesses are closed, what's going to be going on? Yes, we got a stimulus check. Yes, that's going to help. But will that dig us out of all of this? No. So right now, I don't have the confidence to be able to say, oh, ladies and gentlemen, we're on a return. You know, now let's take a little further look. We're going to look at the reports that came out today. Ladies and gentlemen, I taught you guys and girls how to fish. That's what I teach you on this show. Guys and girls, I worked in the military intelligence industry for quite a few bit of years. And the reason why I'm saying that is we're taught the difference between raw data and we're taught the difference between sanitized data. Raw data is when we're getting it from the source. Sanitized data is when we have filters on it. So a lot of us will go and read CNBC, Yahoo Finance. We read news outlets, which is great. I'm showing you guys and girls where the news outlets get their information from. So we're going to take a quick look at what did the Mortgage and Bankers Association put out today in guidance to the real estate industry. And I'm going to show you guys, if you want to take advantage of that, how you're going to do it. So let's take a look at this first. I'm going to share my screen here. Y'all give me 1 second, and we're going to take a look at it together. All right. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, this is from the Mortgage Bankers Association. This is where the financial industry, this is an organization that the financial industry follows very closely to figure out what's going on in the real estate industry, bankers industry, mortgages, stuff like that, right? So here today, as you can see, April 4th, right? They put this out and they're pretty much asking, they put this out on Friday, right? And this came through and it's pretty much just saying, all right, let's take a better way, right? So essentially what this is breaking down to. So Congress came out and they passed the passed the CARES Act. As you can see, they're talking about here. They're talking about the CARES Act, and they're talking about, they're saying, hey, look, the CARES Act has pretty much said that we want to make sure, here we go. And some of you, ladies and gentlemen, if you are experiencing hard times, you might want to read this paragraph, right? So I'm going to read this paragraph for you guys and girls. I'm not the best reader in the world, but I'm going to try my best. So it says, Congress recently enacted the CARES Act to provide relief to families impacted by the global health pandemic caused by the COVID-19 virus. In addition to providing to support for unemployed workers and small businesses, Congress codified for, I can't even say this word every time, you know, for forbearance actions closely aligned with those announced by the FHA, which is the Federal Housing Financial Agency, and taken by the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mae in March to ensure, here you go, to ensure that both homeowners and renters can maintain a roof over their heads during this crisis. So essentially, this is saying that they put out an act saying that, hey, look, we're going to allow people to be able to stay in their houses rent-free, mortgage-free. I won't say rent-free, mortgage-free, but they're allowing you to defer your payments. So if you lost your job, having a hard time paying rent or mortgage, they don't want people to get put on the streets. So in the CARES Act, they went out and said, hey, look, we're providing relief so that an everyday person who worked at Domino's Pizza, lost their job, they're not put on the street, because this is going to cause a domino effect. Because if you start letting people foreclose homes, people start to get put out on the street, it's only going to cause further panic. So the government is saying, hey, anybody that has a government-backed mortgage, we're allowing them to extend their stay into a house, right? So now here, great. The renters get to stay in the house. People get to stay in the house. Now here's the downside. This is why they're writing this whole letter. They're saying policymakers were right to choose this response, but made mortgage services responsible for delivering these government mandated benefits. So it's saying that, hey, you told the mortgage people to not let people pay their rent, but we're carrying the cross because we have mortgages to pay. So the mortgage companies are saying, hey, look, that's great. You made a great decision, Congress, on letting people stay in their houses, but we're losing money. Where is our money going to come from? That's what they're telling the government. So once again, policymakers made the right response, but made mortgage services responsible for delivering these government mandated benefits. And the industry is prepared to supply the relief. The established forbearance framework is appropriate, and it gets help to the most, it gets help to people as quickly as possible. But the scale of the forbearance program could not have been foreseen by mortgage services in full or anticipated. So they're saying that, hey, there's a lot of people calling us utilizing this program. There's no filter on it. It doesn't say only people who make $100 a month. It doesn't say if you make over $1 million a month, you can't use it. It's telling anybody they can use it. So the mortgage industry is saying, hold up, you're telling everybody they don't have to pay their mortgage and their rent, that they can just defer. That dries up our capital, because mortgage companies are relying off of that money. You have mortgage-backed REITs, real estate investment trusts. You have mortgage-backed bonds. How are we going to pay our bonds? How are we going to pay REITs? How are we going to pay our investors if you're telling people they can just defer their money, right? So pretty much, here's this last paragraph. Not the last paragraph, but here's a major paragraph. It is therefore incumbent upon the government to provide the final piece to the puzzle. The final piece of the puzzle is a liquidity facility for single family and multifamily services to ensure that the entire industry can deliver a much needed economical relief to customers through this unprecedented time. While some services will not need assistance, many others require temporary relief, delivery of forbearances at the scale of the duration of required time. Pretty much they're asking the government for money, saying, give us some type of money, give us some liquidity, because you're asking the mortgage industry to bear this cross. And if you asking us to bear this cross, this is going to cause chaos in the mortgage industry, because the government just came up and said, hey, look, if you got a mortgage, you ain't got to pay your mortgage. You know, let the people live in their houses, let them live mortgage-free, rent-free for whatever time period or whatever it is, right? And the mortgage companies, the mortgage industry is saying, hey, that's good. That's fine, government. But number one, you're allowing everybody to do this. So people who don't even need this, they're eligible to utilize this. That's one. So since anybody can use it, everybody is using it. One. Two, you're drying up our capital. The money that we had coming in every month from everybody paying their rents and their mortgages or whatnot, we're losing that money. You need to give us some money to be able to get through this. That's pretty much what this document is saying. That's coming from the Mortgage Bankers Association, that you can see for yourself, that you can go to their website and see directly what they're saying, right? So they're asking for relief. And they're saying if we don't get this relief, the mortgage, the real estate industry could go into a downward spiral, right? Hopefully that makes sense to you guys and girls. Let me get back to, where's my screen at? Hopefully that makes sense. My mouth got a little dry from reading all that too. Now, let's say if you're a very smart and intelligent person, you're saying, hey, you know what? I really believe the real estate industry is next. Prince, how can I profit off of a particular, off of a downturn into the real estate industry? I want to show you how to do that too. So here we go, right? So right here, what I have pulled up on my Yahoo Finance tab and what we're going to go through. This is the real estate industry. What I have pulled up here, you have the real estate market index, which is XLRE. That's X-Ray, Lima, Romeo, India. This is the real estate industry. On top of that, you have an inverse real estate industry tracker, an inverse ETF, which is called Romeo Hector Kilo, right, which is $12. And you're going to see right here, as the market is, I'm going to take off the S&P 500, right? So the purple line that you see here, this is the real estate industry, right? Index. This is the real estate index, that's, you know, or whatnot, XLRE. Now, what you see going up, this is a inverse, right? This is a, as the real estate industry goes down, this goes up. So right now, this is $14. Let me make sure I got that right. Is it $14? It's $15 as of today. So as the real estate industry does bad, this does good. So this is a potential way. This is not financial advice. This is showing you, hey, I believe that, how can I benefit off the real estate industry going down? This is how you can do it with $15, right? Of saying, hey, I think short term, the real estate industry may fall up under pressure. If they do fall up under pressure, how can I benefit from that? This is one of the ways you can benefit from it, right? So use your best judgment. This is a financial education channel. So education, I mean, I'm educating you on things that you can do for yourself, right? XLRE, that's the real estate industry. And these charts here that you see, you see the real estate industry kind of started taking a little downturn on March 4th, right? So on March 4th, they started taking a downturn. And, you know, just like everybody else, this whole industry in whole has started to take a downturn. But you have seen this go up. So this is one of the ways you can take advantage of the real estate industry, as it could potentially in the future see a decline. Because you don't want to react to the market. You want to be in front of the market. So now, the second thing is, so now hopefully that's helped you out. That's on the real estate part. That's what was put out Friday, not today. Excuse me on that. That was put out on Friday by the Mortgage Bankers Association. So now you're going to go through, you're going to see other people talk about it, but that is the raw data that you can read yourself, right? So now another thing is, Prince, how can I position myself for recovery? That's what I tuned in for. I didn't want to hear all the other crap. How can I position myself for recovery? So the first thing is, ask yourself, who has declined the most throughout this whole coronavirus? Who has, what sector has got hit the most? That's the first thing. Ladies and gentlemen, we have 11 sectors, and I've gone over about 5-6 times, but I'm going for you one more time. We have energy, technology, financial, health, consumer staples, real estate, utilities, transportation, communication, industrial, and material. So far in this industry, energy has gotten hit the worst because it has oil, right? So now you have to say, okay, well, oil got hit the worst. Finances was number two. No, finance is actually number three. Finances, oil, and transportation. Transportation, that's airlines, Uber, all that good stuff. They've gotten hit the worst by this. Now, how can I position myself for a rebound? So I look at the people who got smashed the worst. So if you went down the most, you had the most to gain, right? You guys and girls are following me on that? So if you go down the most, you, it's like a rubber band. If you pull a rubber band down, the ones that go the further, when you let it go, which one is going to explode to the top the fastest? Probably the ones that went down the most, in most cases. Not a guarantee, but I'm just giving you my philosophy, right? So hold on 1 second here. Let's see what happened today. I'm looking at the sectors today. I'll give me 1 second. So the first thing we're going to do, we're going to look at the sectors. So today, the sector that had the biggest rebound or the biggest bounce today was technology, right? You had technology had a strong day today, followed by finances, utilities, consumer discretionary. Real estate had a strong day today. Transportation. So transportation, all these guys had a strong day. So now you got to ask yourself, Prince, what sector had the worst days? Not the worst day. Who's got to hit the worst? So we know transportation, we know energy, and we know financials sectors have had the worst day. Now, if you're a very conservative investor, you're a conservative person, you're going to be a person who's probably going to just buy an index and forget about it, right? And now you're going to buy even more as the market takes a downturn. If you're someone who's looking for advantages, first you start off with the sectors. Okay, all right, so energy, they've gone down the most. Why did they go down? Let me take a look into the energy sector. Now, finances has gone down. Transportation has gone down. Now, when you look at these sectors, you're like, you know what, Prince? I'm not smart enough to go dig down into a sector. I just want to take advantage of a sector. You can do that. You can do that. The energy sector, XLE, X-ray, Lima, Echo. X-ray, Lima, Echo. That's the founding alphabet for all my military-friendly people out there. That's the way you can take advantage of the energy sector. You don't have to be smart and pick a gas company. You can say, you know what? I want to invest into this sector because this sector has gotten hit the worst. And when they come back, they don't even have to come back and jump to a new high. If they return to where they were, I'm going to make a 50% return on investment. If energy goes back to where it was before this whole crisis, 40%, almost a 50% return on investment, right? Now you take financials, the finances, that's the banks. Prince, I don't know what bank to choose. Should I choose Bank of America? Should I choose this or whatnot? What if I choose the whole sector? The whole sector is X-Ray, Lima, Foxtrot, right? XLF. If you invest into the whole sector and the sector, financial sector just came back to where it was before the whole coronavirus broke out, you're probably looking at a 30-something percent return, right? This is the person who's a little bit, a very conservative person. They're probably going to go with the index, forget about it. A person who want to take a little bit more risk, who want to be a little bit more moderate, then they may look at investing in particular sectors. Prince, transportation. We had the airlines, everybody. Transportation had such a hard time, Prince. How can I take advantage of the transportation sector? XL. Did I get that right? Yeah, XLN. So that's how you... First, you can start off with those sectors that got hit the worst and invest into those sectors. The next thing, Prince, I want to take it a step above. I really want to get into it, Prince. I want to look inside of it to see. I want to better get some individual stocks. That's fine. I'm going to show you guys and girls exactly how to do that, right? I'm going to share my screen here for a second. Y'all give me 1 second. And I'm going to show you how you can look into a particular sector. Like we just said, the first sector that got hit the worst was XLE. Not a sector that I'm a huge fan of, but we're going to take a look at it. XLE, the energy sector. Now, when I look inside of a sector, I just pulled up XLE here on Yahoo. We're going to go to holdings. Now, as we go to holdings, we're going to scroll down here, and we're going to look at there. 79% of this industry is held by Chevron, Exxon Mobil, and Phillips. So now if you're someone who really want to dig inside of the energy sector and you want to say, you know what, Prince, I want to go a step further. I want to look at Exxon Mobil. So let's take a look at Exxon Mobil. I always start with the big boys in the industry, right? And let's go look at charts. Prince, why are you looking at charts? Why is this important? I want to take a look and see How bad did ExxonMobil, the market was at its peak on March 13th? So ExxonMobil was trading for $60, right? They was trading for about $60 before this whole thing happened. So $60 or $40, that's what, a $20 fall off, or if I say a $20 fall off, you're looking at about a 30-some% drop in this particular stock, right? So now you looked inside of the industry and you can find something, right? So now we're going to move on to the next one. We're going to look at XLE, XLF, the financial industry. The financial industry got, this was the third most hit industry. Now we're going to look at the holdings. When you go into holdings, the first thing you're going to look at the top companies that are inside of holding. So right here, you got Berkshire Hathaway, JP Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citigroup. Look at the top three. Berkshire Hathaway, JP Morgan, Bank of America. Let's look at JP Morgan, for example. Now, if you take JP Morgan, if you want to get in now, as you drill down and buy a particular stock, you're probably going to have a higher return on investment, but it's more risk, right? So we're going to go in, we're going to look at the chart. Why am I looking at the chart? I want to show you where you can look at it and say, okay, right about February, the market was at its peak around February 12th. This particular stock was trading for $138. JP Morgan was $138 before the market took a downturn. Now this particular stock, it went up today to $89. So it's almost $90. So if this stock, if JP Morgan, the financial industry, just returned back to where it was, you can see, not even counting dividends, you can probably earn 30 to 40, 50% on investment. Now I have people tell me all the time, Prince, man, what is the 30% return on investment? I invest $100 and I make $30. What good is that? Ask yourself, what else can you do with $100 right now? If you had $500 to invest, you didn't put it in the stocks, you look at real estate, how much real estate are you really going to get for $500? You can buy a piece of land for $500. I'm not going to lie on that. But you can't do too much with it. You're not going to be able to get a rental property with just $500. You take $500 and you put it in a checking account, you probably make a dollar. If you put it in a savings account, you might make 50 cents. You put it into a CD, you might make $2. You put it into a business, can you really start a business with $500? Yes, I know that, hey, I can become a photographer, things like that. But it's very minimum you can do with $500. But then again, you're like, if I can invest $500 here and I made 30%, that doesn't sound too bad. So many times people get caught up with how much money they make, not looking at, it's not about how much money you make, it's all about the opportunity. What else could I have done with this particular money, right? Now that we know that, now I'm going to put it on steroids. Y'all ready for it? Y'all here we go to steroids. We talked about the index for the conservative person to take advantage of the rebound. We spoke about the sector investing for the person to take advantage of a rebound. We talked about buying individual stocks for a person to take advantage of a rebound. Now we're going to put it on steroids. This is only for the people that really want to get crazy with it, right? Y'all ready for it? Here we go. Now we're going to talk about sector leverage bullish ETFs. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Sector leverage bullish ETFs. So earlier I was talking about the sector that got hit the worst by the coronavirus was XLE. Now we're going to take a look inside. Let me share my stream. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. I want to show it to you guys and girls. I'm using Yahoo Finance because Yahoo Finance, they're good people over there. We had the editor-in-chief on here the other day. But anybody can get to this. Anybody can look at this. Nobody. You don't have to have an account. You don't have to sign up for anything. So here we go. So earlier we talked about XLE. XLE is the energy sector ETF. Guys and girls, I'm going to get into your guys and girls' comments. I want to get through this first. So here we go. We're going to go to charts. Now, as we're looking up in charts, the charts are coming up. This is XLE. We're going to take it to a year to date. I'm going to compare it. We're going to use symbol GUSH. G-U-S-H. H. So, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, the blue line is a leveraged bullish ETF. Let's go back a year so you can get a better look instead of this year. Right? So when oil does very good, I'm not a very big fan of oil. When oil does very good, if oil does do good, this thing goes haywire, right? When oil does bad, I think today is trading at what? What is that? It's at $29 a day? I don't think that's right. We want to look at it. So when you look at this particular company, right, this is leverage. You have a leverage ETF versus a regular ETF. XLE is a regular ETF, right? So let's do it the other way around. Let's type in Gush. I don't like the way it's looking. I want to get more information on the newer one. So this thing is a leverage ETF. You see today, it went up 10%, right? It went up 10% today because oil had a good day today. And this is a leverage ETF. This is steroids. This is putting the oil and gas industry on steroids. So as the oil and gas industry, let's look at the charts. As the sector goes up, this looks to go up 2 times as much as more as the sector. So if you're a big oil fanatic and you really want to take advantage of oil and gas in the energy sector, you can jump into it. I'm not crazy on oil myself in particular, but once again, like I said, this is a financial literacy show. So let's take a look at this right here. I want to pull this up. XLE. Now, the purple line is the oil sector, how it performed today, right? The purple line is the energy sector, energy and oil, how it performed today. The yellow line, not the yellow line, but the red and green candlestick line, this is how the leverage ETF performed today. So when oil goes up, this really goes up. But when oil goes down, this really goes down. So if you wanted the steroids, if you want to put the sector on steroids, you can do that with energy and oil with GUSH, which is Gulf Umbrella Sierra Hotel, Gush, right? That's our Gush or Gush, whatever it is. But you guys and girls got it, right? That's how you can put your return, a rebound, if you timed it perfectly and the oil energy sector just ran like crazy. Right? Like, think about it. This is $19 a day, right? And you can see, let me see where we're at. I don't want to look at energy. Let's go back. Year to date. So, ladies and gentlemen, you guys can go look at the price of this thing. The price of this thing in January was like $1,400. Today it's $19, right? This is the energy and oil sector. If energy and oil, if this sector takes off and just run for the sky when the coronavirus is picked up, this thing is going to go crazy, right? You can see on when the market was at its peak this year, on January 6th, this thing was trading for $1,500. This thing was $1,500 in January, right? Just last month, it had dropped down to $700. What you're looking at today in February, it was $700. Today is at $20. So this is a grave risk, but this is how you can put the energy sector on steroids. Next up, we're going to talk about how you can do the exact same thing with the financial industry. If you're looking at the financial industry and you're planning on a big return, and or whatnot, you can do the exact same thing with the financial industry. The financial industry, the sector, you can invest into the whole. You can do the exact same thing with utilities. You can do the same thing with transportation and comms. So I don't want to beat a dead horse and go through all of them, but you can do this. These are leveraged bullish sector ETFs. You can do this with technology and everything, right? And those are some ways, ladies and gentlemen, that you can take advantage of a downturn. You can position yourself. So we talked about it. If you're an everyday person, Prince, I ain't trying to be advanced. Just get the S&P 500. Forget about it. Buy some more to S&P 500 when the market declines. Forget about it. If you want somebody who want to put a little, you want to be a little bit moderate. You want to take a little bit more risk. Now you may want to invest into some sectors that got beat up very bad that you know are going to return. Technology is going to do very well in the future, right? Now, if you're somebody that says, hey, let's take you for example. Somebody can say, hey, you know what? I want to invest in technology, but I don't want to get too far into it. You go and get NASDAQ, right? Someone who's conservative would get just the NASDAQ as the NASDAQ QQQ. Someone who's a little bit more spicier, they may go get XLK, X-ray Lima Kilo. That's the technology sector. Someone who may want to get a little bit more spicier than that, they may go get Apple or Microsoft. Someone who really want to take advantage of the industry, they may be the person that's going to go get TECHL. I think it's TechL or something like that. That's the leverage sector ETF. So you guys and girls get what I'm saying? All right. Hopefully that made sense. So now let me give you guys and girls a let me go to some of y'all comments, and we're going to go through this, right? Okay, so Abraham said, where have you been? I've been waiting for the next live chat. I pulled the trick of Friday on XPXL, Berkshire Hathaway, JP Morgan. So he's heavily XPXL. That's the S&P 500 leverage ETF. So if he purchased that on Friday, today he earned 20% return on investment. Congratulations to Abraham. BRKB, that is Berkshire Hathaway, right? JPM, that is JP Morgan. BRK.P and JPM, they are both in the financial sector. So the market roared today. Is this the return? I need more evidence. I got to see some more financial reports, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not that smart to pick a bottom. I don't know if we're at the bottom, right? And I don't care about getting the exact bottom. So, yes, I wish I would have brought some XPXL on Friday. I would have sold them today, and I'd have been a happy man or whatever. Then I probably would have brought some SPXS. So I'd have been betting on a downturn tomorrow. We had a 1,600-point run-up today. I think we're going to see a little curve back tomorrow. But you brought it on Friday. Good on you. I don't know what your goal is, Abraham, but that's nice. Your portfolio is looking nice today. Don't be surprised if you get all that go away tomorrow. Shan, she said, Memphis is in the building. Is this an example of a dead cat bounce? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad you guys are saying this is a dead cat bounce. It was something that was coined, I think, in the 60s in the financial industry. It could have went back further than that. But they were talking about even when a cat is falling, and when a cat falls off a building, it'll still bounce off the ground, but even though it's dead, right? So as you see an economy that's declining, yes, there will be jolts. So, yes, we're still in the bear market. There still could be jolts. We have not hit a recession. Technically, on a chart, we say recession because we went down 20 points. But we don't get our next GDP report until April 29th to the end of the market. Don't be surprised if y'all see West come around the corner. But I kind of hear his little feet. But anyway, that is called, I wouldn't call it, you know, this is a classic example of a dead cat bounce. Will the market take from here and take off running? I don't know. If warm weather come in and start killing the virus and things can turn around, then that means we never hit a recession. That means we just hit a deep correction. Because in order for it to be considered a recession, we have to hit 2 months of a declining GDP fundamentally. But technically, we say 20% off a high. If technically we've been in a quote-unquote recession since, I want to say, last month, but we have to have 2 months of the declining GDP. So our next GDP report will come out in April. It will cover some of the coronavirus era. But, of course, if everything is shut down, all our ports are shut down, of course, we're going to have a declining GDP. And if we continue to this, we can't get business back open, of course, we're going to have another declining GDP, which will lead us directly into a recession. Matthew Simmons saying, howdy from California. Howdy. What's going on there, Matthew? We got Leticia Mintz taking notes. Nice, nice. Smart, smart. Al's from Chicago, just added on some more S-Dow stocks today. Yeah, so the S-Dow, what he's talking about, he's betting against the Dow Jones. He's seen the Dow Jones run up. He said, man, I don't believe you. I think you're going to come back tomorrow, especially, ladies and gentlemen, if the UK prime minister dies oh my goodness, the man just went to the ICU a couple hours ago. They reported that the prime minister of the UK just went to the ICU, intensive care unit, because of the coronavirus. If he dies, that's going to put some shockwaves, right? Shane said, I'm interested in options trading for puts and calls too. Okay, yeah, we'll do a show on puts and calls. The only thing about, not bad about puts and calls, what makes puts and calls very risky, they're very profitable for one. What makes them very risky, your timing has to be on point. I know the market is going to go up. The smartest call you can buy right now is to go buy a call for next summer, which is called a leap. Buy a call for next summer that the Dow Jones is going to be over 25,000 or something like that. Now, I haven't looked in it. I'm just talking. But I guarantee you that has a great chance of winning, because I can see by next summer, us being out of this coronavirus, we have moved on with our lives. Our lives will never be the same. I guarantee you the next time something breaks out in China, we're going to handle it totally different, because we've seen the swine flu. We've seen the bird flu. We've seen H1N1. But it never really came over here and hit us like that. So if the safest call you can do is to bet on the Dow Jones going up over the long term, right? But that one could be a little expensive, but your timing has to be impeccable. Not impeccable, but your timing has to be right. Like, I know the market is going to go back up. I know the market will win. I just don't know when. If I knew the market was going to go down for the rest of the week, yeah, you can buy a put option, make some money, great to go for you, right? So, but except if you buy a put saying the market is going to go down, but it expires on Friday. Let's say the market doesn't go down the next week. You had the right direction, the wrong timing. So your timing has to be a little bit on, but we'll talk about that. That's what makes it risky. Well, I'll give you 1 second here. I'm trying to get to y'all comments. Y'all give me 1 second. Let me refresh, because my comments are kind of... There we go. I'm sorry about that. Had to refresh my thing here. I'm trying to make sure I don't miss anybody. Man, it's a lot of comments. Okay, hold on. Appreciate all you guys and girls comment. We're going to get down to them. Jay Biz, what's going on out there in Seattle? He said he had the 263 spies for $35. He sold them for $60. They hit $400 end of the day. Woo! Nice. He had to call spies, and we're talking about those are call options on the spy. So he had it for $35. He sold them for $60. That's almost 100% return on investment in today, right? Because the market ran up. It probably ran through his strike price and ran through and did a good job for him. So good job. Congratulations, Jay Biz. If you want to send me $5, I will appreciate that. That'll be greatly appreciated. I just borrow it. I give it back to you. Appreciate it. Miss Ivory Coast Prince, she said, my Twitter shut down, but other stocks and comms and techs are doing okay, my guy. Nice. Yes, today was a strong day on the market. Technology sector did very well, Miss Ivory Coast. I don't know. Oh, she said her Twitter stock is down. Okay, I thought she was talking about the actual thing. But yes, the whole technology sector did very well. When you invest in individual stocks, that's the highest risk you can take. You can invest into the technology sector in a whole, just like we kind of spoke about. So congratulations on that. Max B said, once we get April unemployment numbers, then I'll invest. So right now, ladies and gentlemen, the next unemployment numbers are going to come out. April's unemployment numbers are going to come out the first week, the first Friday of May. So we just got the unemployment numbers for March, but it only accounted for half of March, right? It only accounted for March 1st to March 12th. So we won't see the rest of March. So the next unemployment numbers we get, we're going to see the rest of March, and we're going to see the rest of April. So Max B saying, hey, I want to see these unemployment numbers first, see what's going on. I'm right there with you, Max B. I need some more stability going on. I need to see how real estate is going on to see how this coronavirus is really going to play out before I just jump on this bandwagon. So, ladies and gentlemen, March unemployment numbers will come out the first week. No, April unemployment numbers will come out the first week of May, the first Friday of May. And the reason why this is so important is what's going to really why it's so important, because it's going to go from, it's going to include from March 12th all the way to April 12th. And we know after March 12th, that's when all the jobless claims started coming in, right? And Department of Labor put that out. They put that out in their last report. They said, yes, unemployment rose. Unemployment was rising a little bit even before the coronavirus was even taking place, ladies and gentlemen, right? So the last unemployment numbers that came out, the Department of Labor, I don't want to go pull up their raw report because we already done that on the last live. They said, hey, look, we're only accounting March unemployment rose to 4.4 from 3.5. And this is not including the coronavirus 6 million jobless claims that were filed. So this Thursday, we're going to get some more jobless claims. Every Thursday, we get jobless claims. Jobless claims is just people who go in and file for unemployment. Doesn't mean they're going to get it. Doesn't mean they qualify. But these are just people who fill out applications for jobless unemployment. Gangsta Talk says Trump is realist. Okay. Street Crusher said, hello, sir. How you doing, Street Crusher? The Street Crusher says she's from India. I think this is the first time me seeing somebody catch a live from India. What's going on in India? Okay, Street Crusher says, can anyone tell me how much currency conversion charges do TD Ameritrade take to convert from one currency to another? Ooh, that's a pretty good question. That all depends on the currency rate at the time that you put your money in, right? So, you know, currency rates change every day, you know, 4X, right? So it would depend on today's currency conversion or whatever day you're looking to trade. LOL. He said, LOL, just highlighted what you wanted to read and let the computer read it for you. But it sounds like a computer, Al. I don't read that bad, do I, Al? You know, but the reason why I'm showing you guys this stuff, I'm showing it so you can see it yourself, and I'm trying to let you guys and girls see it to kind of let you know what's going on. Rolando Tate, what's going on? He said, hello, thanks for creating this platform. Thanks. I definitely appreciate it, Rolando. Rolando said, what do you think about banks and RTFs and bonds? Aren't they affected? Look at Germany today, IMF. What do I think about banks and REITs and bonds? So banks, he's talking about the financial companies. We kind of hit on that a little bit earlier, Rolando. And he's kind of talking about REITs, the real estate investment trusts, and bonds. Bonds, first of all, we're in the lowest interest rate society we've ever seen. So that makes bonds less attractive, right? So, you know, you're not getting a very good interest rate off of that, but it depends. What are you looking? Are you someone who's trying to draw income? REITs right now, I'm scared of REITs right now because of, you know, I didn't even pull up the other report where the companies were saying they were scared that how can the Cheesecake Factory came out and said, hey man, we ain't paying the mortgages. The Cheesecake Factory just straight up said, yo, look, yes, we doing Uber Eats and we letting people do curbside, but just look at those companies. Anybody at the casual dining and better, casual dining and better is Chili's, Applebee's, and better. Those are the ones who are really struggling. Nobody's trying to roll up on a steakhouse. I don't know how many times I said this. I'm not going to go to the Cheesecake Factory and order a nice dining meal just to go take it home and eat it on my couch. That's just not me personally. And I don't think most people are going to do that. Most people are doing grab-and-go food, which is good for a company like a Jimmy John's or McDonald's or, you know, fast food, lower-end places, a Subway, or people just trying to grab a sandwich, a pizza. You know, I don't think anybody eating Chinese food right now. I'm just not saying it's fair or, you know, my take, but I'm just telling you what people think. So that's why I'm not big on REITs. And most of these REITs are leasing their buildings out to Cheesecake Factory. They're leasing their buildings out to a Domino's. They're leasing their buildings out to a Papa John's. And if these companies can't make enough money, how can they pay their mortgages? So that's why I'm scared of REITs. And we just talked about the real estate industry. So I have a big eyeball on the real estate industry because I'm in the real estate market. I'm looking to buy a house, right? And I own some land here as well. I purchased some land last year, but that's for long term. But so I'm really looking at prices to see how prices will be affected by the real estate market. But would I be jumping on REITs and real estate market right now? I'd be very skeptical because all it takes is, say if Domino's and these people can't afford their mortgages because it's hard. Imagine if you own a Cheesecake Factory and you scale back all of your workers. You got less than 10 people working. How many people are really rolling up on Cheesecake, ordering Cheesecake to go? Probably not that many. So how can you pay your mortgages and your bills? So if you can't pay your mortgages, that means the REITs are not going to probably get paid. So that would be something I'd be very weary of and conscious of. Rolando Tate said, SBA is running to FA and Fannie Mac. Yeah, the Small Business Association, you know, they're trying to save everybody, but, you know, I'm just keeping an eyeball out right now, just watching. James Bond, Maxine Waters introduced a Coronavirus Insurance Act. Life insurance companies have to pay coronavirus death claims. That's very dangerous, right? Because if this don't get under control and people just start dying left and right, insurance companies could see a problem. But hopefully we don't get that far. Rolando Tate says, small business feeling it. Bank of America and other red tape is making it hard for small businesses to breathe. You are exactly correct, right? Small businesses are finding it very hard. The small business, the SBA has just came out and gave out a big loan forgiveness where you can get $10,000 up front, or you can get something, you can defer payments. So they have all type of incentives that was wrapped up into the CARES Act. So we have to look into that. Kevin said, will real estate impact the Dow direction? Sorry if I missed that info. If the real estate market starts to, Kevin, you got to know where you're going, you got to know your history. What caused the 2008 market crash? What was the straw that broke the camel's back? It was real estate, you know, subprime mortgages. So when you start, mortgages are fine, loans are great, as long as the person is paying their bills. The moment the person stop paying their bills, that's when everything starts to collapse. So as long as the person is paying their bills, everything is good to go, right? So when I look at, think about it, if I don't pay my mortgage, my house goes into foreclosure, the bank don't want your house. They don't want a bunch of foreclosed houses. They want you to pay your mortgage with interest. That's the name of the game. Pay your mortgage with interest. Everything is fine until the person at the end. The subprime mortgage industry back in 2008, everything was fine until those people could not pay those mortgages that weren't even supposed to have them. When they couldn't pay their mortgages, that's when chaos broke out. XRLERXRX is the inverse. Yes. He's talking about the inverse that we spoke about earlier. XLRE, right? He said, thank you for RXR. Yes, because everybody who's holding REITs always talk about how they're getting beat up and get beat down. But this is showing you, you don't want to react to the market. You want to be in front of the market. So for $19, if you was believing that the real estate market was next, this is the way you can benefit off of the real estate market downturn. It's $19 a day. This thing was just a $700 2 months ago. James Bond said insurance companies are going to have to access cash to pay these claims. This would be negative impact the market. Yes, but also insurance companies are regulated by the state and they have to maintain a certain amount of cash, right? They have to maintain a certain amount of cash on hand. So if I issue, you can't issue out a bunch of policies. You have to, I forgot the ratio. It's regulated by the state of how much cash they have to have on hand, of how many bills they have to pay. If an insurance company has to pay anything over 5% of their policies, they're probably going to go to bankruptcy. 5 to 10%, because what makes insurance companies work is they insure people that never place a claim, right? So if that's why they stop insuring people who place claims. So if the underwriter, if they get a bunch of insurance policies and they get more than like 10% of the people claiming their money, they're going to have problems. It's the same thing. If everybody lined up outside of Bank of America and started wanting to cash all their money out, halfway through that crowd, they're going to run out of cash. Because the insurance money, when the insurance company, when you're paying your mortgages, your all your insurance, they're taking that money and investing it somewhere else. That's what they're really doing. That money's not just sitting in an account. They're taking that money and buying stocks. Notorious, that's what Warren Buffett is known for. He owns Geico. So every month when everybody pay their Geico premiums or whatnot, majority of that money he's taking and he's going to go buy Coca-Cola. He's going to go buy Dairy Queen. He's going to go buy all these particular companies, right? So that's why. Stock Trader says SRS. What do you mean by that, Stock Trader? No, Stock Tapper, Trapper. I'm sorry about that. I thought they said trade. My bad. Airlines and hotels. One of the ways you can get into the airline industry and the hotel industry, they can fall up under the transportation sector. In the airline industry, we talked about JETS, Jets, or XTN. X-ray Tango November. Oh, he's saying SRS is another one. I see it. PMT, we'll come back to that one. We'll try to get to everybody else, Rolando. So, oh, SRS is another one. Okay. The cruise lines. If you're going to invest in the cruise lines, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you get a domestic cruise line. Meaning, why is it so important to get a domestic versus an international cruise line? The domestic cruise lines qualify for the bailout, whereas the international cruise lines just don't. So if you got Royal Caribbean or Carnival or whatever, you need to make sure you get one that at least, because a lot of those companies, they put themselves overseas, and they put themselves overseas because they're trying to, avoid taxes. And since they're avoiding taxes, guess what's going to end up happening, right? And since they avoided taxes, they're going to avoid the bailout too. Trump said, hey, I don't want companies that haven't been paying taxes to benefit from the, So be very careful with the cruise line. See where they're based out of. See who owns them. Casinos, I'm not big on casinos right now. I think casinos got way more pressure to go down. You know, casinos closed down, and they're going to stay closed. They probably won't open up. I don't think we're going to get to this by next month. I don't think by May we'll have the confidence to restore. Like, the government is going to come out and say, all right, guys, yeah, Corona is gone. America is open for business. Are you going to be the first person at the casino? Are you going to be the first person at the gym? Probably not. Are you going to be the first person on the airplane? Probably not. So I think it's going to take a little minute to restore the confidence in America. And I think to restore the confidence, the death tolls and the cases are going to have to stop. They're going to have to start to decline. We're going to have to get a vaccination. And you're going to have to restore the confidence back into America before we see people out here willy-nilly. You know, just like all DOD personnel must wear a mask on their face if they leave their house. So that's my take on the casinos, MGM. Kwanzaa Investment Group says, thank you, Prince Dykes. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Rolando said, thank you for sharing your wealth of knowledge. And he was saying, excellent presentation. I appreciate that. Justin D said, what did you study? What do you mean by what did I study? In regards to, kind of lost on that. Bianca? We can still earn dividends by investing into sectors. Let's look it up. Don't take my word for it. Let's take XLE. This is the energy sector. XLE, the energy sector, what is the yield? This is the yield right now. They're paying 4.14% because the stock has dropped. That's the yield right now, 14%. So, yes, you can invest into the sector and earn a dividend. That is correct. I'm sorry. I didn't even share my screen. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to share my screen with the question. I'm sorry about that. XLE. So right here, this is XLE. This is the energy sector. And what I have highlighted right here is 14%. So yes, it pay right now its current yield is 14%. So yes, you can earn dividends while investing into a particular sector. And you don't have to be as smart when you're picking sectors over stocks. Tony Siri from Cleveland, had to add to amount regularly. Yes, dollar cost average, ladies and gentlemen. Dollar cost average. Keith, what's going on? That's my guy right there, Keith. I like that profile picture too, like he's getting a hand clap in at church or something, but it's good. He says, Prince always bringing amazing content and real content. This is usable. Definitely appreciate it, man. Keith been following me for some years too. Appreciate that, Keith. Al from Chicago, how does this 2X shares pay out? If you got days that go down, then days that go up. So what this does, Al, from what I've seen inside of these, how they work, they go out and buy a bunch of options. They buy a bunch of call options. If it's a bearish one, they buy a bunch of put options. So they bet hard on the upside. You know, it would be like, hey, bet aggressively on oil. So when they lose, they really lose, right? So I seen them when they really get crushed when they are wrong, but when they're right, they can do it essentially well. So as a shareholder, if you buy it, it's just like XPXL, XPXS, you know, all those guys that's doing the indexes, they doing the same thing for sectors. He said this Thanos snatch away. Daily River said that they snatch away half of their business. I don't know. We got to see. Michael Lanford. Yes, I have Michael Lanford. If you're still in here, I'm going to be emailing you shortly. We're going to do a portfolio review, a live portfolio review. He's a new investor, right? And we're going to do some nice stuff. So definitely, I got you, Michael. We're going to look at some of your stuff. I got you. I haven't forgot about you. All right. Larry, there we go. Larry out there in Hawaii. Aloha. What's going on, Larry? Thank you. Appreciate your support. A-Jinx says, hello. Hey, how's it going? Hey, Joe Terry said, wow, good. Seems like it's a good move for me. Now, the oil industry, well, I'm not very big on the oil industry, for a prime example, Joe, is the reason why is that these particular companies, oil, it's a lot of politics around it, right? One, it's a lot of politics, meaning that with oil, the price, the supply of oil is controlled by Russia, United States, the Middle East. They decide how much oil they're going to pump. One day they get mad. One day somebody don't get mad. Then plus, when I look at going into the future, I look at us, we're becoming less and less dependent upon oil. That's why I've never been a crazy oil person myself. But yes, there's definitely a great opportunity there. If oil takes off, the energy sector takes off. It's gotten beat up the worst because of oil mostly and coronavirus. But if they turn around, you could make a potentially nice return on investment over the long term. Asset, the Saudis brought 8% of Carnival Cruise Lines. Ooh, nice. Okay, Daily River's talking to Al. Okay, Proud Dad. When you invest in stocks, do you invest monthly into stocks or do you put a lump sum into one stock and done with it? Monthly. I like to go monthly, you know, because you might be able to catch some better prices at a better time. Like if I just threw all my money in on Friday, good for me. But if I threw all my money in today, it could turn around and burn me. James Bond, is there going to be a recorded for later review? Yes, yes. All of my episodes, even though I'm doing it live, when I go off live, all of these are up and amazing for you to look back onto. So also, I pretty much put all of these on my podcast. The podcast is on iTunes, it's on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play, Pandora. So you could be cleaning your house and listen to all of this play back to you. You can just watch it through YouTube. So I try to give you the content however you want it. So you can catch it live. You can catch audio as you clean your house, drive to work, drive home, or you can watch the playback, however you want to do it, or catch it live yourself. Keisha, hey, how's she doing? Keisha is New York City, right? Keisha's coming from New York. Keisha, hey, Prince, what a day, what a day. I'm just going to sit back and peep this week's rally. That's if it lasts for a week. Now, somebody donated $5. Somebody donated $5. Where are you at? Deadly River donated $5. You know, I always tell people, thank you for your donation, but I always tell people, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you want to donate something to me, just go out and buy the number one children's financial literacy book series on the market, which is Wesley Learns. You got three books to choose from. You got Wesley Learns to Invest, the world's first children's book on investing. Wesley Learns About Credit. Wesley Learns About Insurance. And the world's first children's book on insurance as well. So you can get those hardcover. You can get those paperback. You can get those ebook. You can get those audio. And they're all on Audible. They're on iTunes, everywhere you can go. I'd rather you support that than to donate to me. But if you want to donate, I definitely appreciate it. But Ms. Deadly Raver, I definitely appreciate you for donating $5. She said, LOL, that Thanos comment was in response to hearing about that one stock that's going above $1,000 to $30. Godzilla doesn't do that much damage. That's an inverse leverage ETF. That's how much damage they get done when you're on the wrong side of a leverage ETF. That's why I put that at the very, 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 very top of the risk chart, right? So anyway, definitely appreciate that. Definitely appreciate your contribution for donating. So yes. All right, here we go. Let me go back up to where I was. We got Jacob Wallace in the house. Okay. Jacob Wallace, he says, greeting Prince from San Francisco. This is Jacob. That's my guy right there, Jacob Wallace. He's checking in from the Bay Area. What's going on, Jacob? It's a good guy there. Good guy. He says, so are we clear? Will this trend sustain? Jacob, I don't believe it right now. Everybody's excited just of like, the market has gotten beaten down so bad. We're down 30, 40%, right? I don't know if 18,000, I think on March 13th, that could have been our bottom, but I don't think so. I think if we get away with it, just dropping this, like Yahoo Finance said, Andy Sori, I think we got a little bit more to do. I have to see more unemployment. I got to see us get back to work, right? I got to see people get back to work. I got to see unemployment numbers. It's a lot that I have to see in order to believe that this is a rebound. Right, I told you it's four things I believe that got to happen. We got we have to restore consumer confidence. Confidence is more important than anything else. People have to believe in the bank. People have to believe in stocks in order for the system to work. So, in order the healthcare world, people have to believe that this is going to work. For the first thing people got to believe is number one, we have to stop the death toll. We got to stop the cases. They got to decrease. Once they decrease, we got to have a vaccination, and then we got to have a vaccination, the death tolls, everything got to decrease, and we got to get back to work. So right now, when I look at this, even this could be a prime example of a dead cat bounce. Even on a down market, we're going to have rallies. The market wants to go up. You know, look at the UK prime minister. The dude just went to intensive care. That's not good right now. So I just need more information. We just had 6 million jobless claims. You know, the real estate industry is now asking for help. Earlier in the show, we just went to the Mortgage and Bankers Association. Coming directly from the Mortgage and Bankers Association, they're asking for relief. Why are they asking for relief? Congress just came out and said, hey, here, let these four, I don't know why I can't say this word, forbearances, let these forbearances go ahead. Meaning that people who have mortgages, don't kick them out of the house. Let them defer their payments. Let them defer their rent. And the mortgage companies are saying, great, that's good. But look, we're feeling the pressure. That was our money you just told people to defer. What are we going to do in the meanwhile? So they're asking Congress for a bailout. The real estate industry is even kind of pointing towards a bailout, because if they don't get that bailout, where are they going to go? So I don't believe it. It's too much going on right now. I'm just sitting back waiting. I need to see more. Thank you for tuning in, Jacob. Mr. Grimm, hey, what do you guys think about GTST? I'm not going to look up a new stock right now. I'm going to try to get Mr. Grimm. I'm going to try to get through everybody else's comments. Then if we have time, I'm going to come back to that one. But I at least want to give everybody else a chance to comment. Deadly River said, I'm with Prince. The Dow will go up. I know it will. I just don't know when should I jump in. It's like jump scotch. You know how you, not a jump, how, what is it? When they do the little jump rope, when they're doing a jump rope and the person trying to see when to jump in, when to jump in. That's what it's like right now. You're like, oh, is that it? No, is that it? Is that it? So I don't care about catching the exact bottom, because when it all said and done, let's say the market rebounds and hit a new high of 40,000. If the Dow Jones is at 40,000, do you think the person that jumped in at 21,000 and the person that jumped in at 26,000 are going to be arguing? No. Do you think the person that brought Apple for $5 and the person that brought it for $50 are mad? No. So don't become overly overt with trying to catch the bottom that you end up overreacting. Mr. Gim said GTS. Yeah, we'll see if we can look that up later, okay? And yeah, Deadly Rivera's from India. Nice. First time seeing somebody from India. Thoughts on investing in gold? Marcella. Gold has been very shocking. Gold, I thought, would be shooting up right now. I think that gold could do well if this extends to May. So gold, usually when the asset classes, when equity stocks go down, gold goes up. But I haven't seen gold shoot off so far yet. Gold has been kind of moving with stocks kind of funny right now. So, but I definitely think it's a great hedge. You can invest into it. IAU, India Alpha Umbrella, IAU. you can get into that right now, and that's for about $15 to track gold. I think it's a good investment as a hedge, but it's been acting very finicky right now. I'm surprised it hasn't taken off. I know people say, "Oh, Prince, because this wasn't an asset problem or whatever." But yes, I think that if we go into more uncertain times, gold will start to rise and spike, especially if this leads into a declining GDP and we have a second quarter. Ladies and gentlemen, we won't know if we hit a recession until April, May, June, July, to about July or August before we can hit a fundamental recession, because we have to have two quarters of a declining GDP. So that requires 6 months. So we can't say the word recession until July. So our next GDP report will come out in April, which I can definitely see a decline because everything is closed. And then we're going to get another one come July. That's my text. Hope that helps. Bones, hey, love your show. I did well buying the bottom, fingers crossed, with I think that's Carnival, which is HAL. I can't remember who they were. I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on RIG? Not going to look up another stock right now. I'm going to try to get through the comments, right? Prince, did you hear about Lucky Coffee cooking books? Yes. Of course, Maxby, I heard about that. I heard about that. People was telling me to get into it on Thursday and Friday. And to me, that's the opposite of investing. If you are a day trader, I can see a day trader don't care about a company. They just care about movement, right? But as an investor, if I hear you cooking books, you know, I don't be like, oh, man, it's not like a company. I want to invest into them. No, that's not me. If I hear you stealing money, I'm not going to be like, oh, this sounds like a perfect time to go invest into that company. I'm like, nah, y'all got some management problems. Y'all need to fix that. So me, as my fundamental side, no. But if you're a technical guy who's just looking for a day trade, a quick move, maybe you can look into Luckin Coffin. And for the people who don't know, cooking books is like lying about your finances. You know, that's like somebody turned over their finances and couldn't find out they just lying for no reason. I don't play that. Anthony Meredith, what's going on? He said, how do you feel about BRKB? You think it's a good time to buy now or wait? BRKB, ladies and gentlemen, that is Berkshire Hathaway Class B shares. How do I feel about BRKB at this present time? I think it's a good buy at this price. I think BRKB is way underpriced, right? But I think if we wait a little bit, we probably can get a better price, Anthony. So that's Berkshire Hathaway. That's Warren Buffett's company. So that's what I like them. But right now, ooh, they're tough. They're tough right now because I'm trying to see banking and financial industry. I would just say hold. I would just say wait. You know, the reason why is if we jump into it now and then we get unemployment numbers for April, we get our GDP numbers, and we slide into a recession, the first thing you're going to say is, man, I should have waited. I could have got a better price. So I want to see all this pan out, this corona, all the other stuff like that. Are we going to slide into a fundamental recession? Max B, what's going on out there in Louisiana? And shout out to Max B for ordering an autographed copy of Wesley Learns. I definitely appreciate that. Shout out to Max B. He said, also, what do you think about HSY? It's getting late in the show, Max B. I ain't going to look up another company. I won't get everybody's comments. Deadly Rever says, hello, Trump is making it where that they have to register themselves in America to get the bailout. Yes. The reason why is if you're not registered in America, you haven't paid American taxes. So Trump is pretty much saying, you didn't put in on this. Your company didn't pay no taxes. Y'all got all this tax-free money. Now you want to take advantage of our stimulus? Oh, no. I agree with him on that, Deadly Rever. All right? Mr. Grimm. Man, you guys are rich. I can't afford stocks under $10. He said you're looking for stocks. No. Take the stock you're going to buy for $10. Wait. Stack your money up. You shouldn't be buying anything anyway right now anyway. Stack your money up. Because the stocks under $10 are usually the more risky ones anyway. Keep your stock for $10 and hold on to it. If you hold on to it for another week, another month, now you got $20. You hold on to it and we do slide into a recession, you might have $60, right? And then the stocks are falling while you're saving money. Lindell Moore, what's going on? That's Mr. Lindell Moore, the guys and girls over there from Seeking Alpha. Thank you for tuning in, Mr. Lindell Moore. Okay, he's talking to someone. And Linda Moore, he says, good work, Prince. I appreciate it. William Voss, all right there from my hometown, Waynesboro, Georgia. Definitely. Thank you for tuning in, William Voss. We got the Tech Monkey. Do you think we would go to a digital currency due to potential germs on paper currency? We're halfway at a digital currency anyway, right? You know, we're halfway there anyway. They talked about the digital dollar. We need not too many people walking around cash heavy anyway. You know, you can do everything with a card that you can do with cash. You know, we're halfway to I won't even say halfway. We're like 70% to a digital currency. So, you know, look at it. You can log onto my phone. For prime example, if somebody said, Prince, let me get an autographed copy of your whole series. I could literally type up an invoice from my phone, email it to them. They can pay it over the phone. I can mail it out to them, swipe my business credit card, and it's done. We had no cash involved. We're 70% there anyway. How many people paying their bills by cash? I don't even think you can anyway. So, yeah, we're 90% the way there anyway. All right. Who else we got here? I'm scrolling on down. Make sure I don't forget anybody. William Voss said, how much did I miss? You're going to have to go back to the beginning. You're going to get the replay, William Voss. This whole thing is up on YouTube. You can catch the beginning. So you can get the whole show, get played back and everything like that. I can say her name. Miss Williams, call up, put down. I got that much right. See, exactly. Yeah, a call is when you're betting. A call is asking to be able to buy a stock for a certain price in the future. A put is asking for the ability to sell a stock for a certain price in the future. But we'll do a live on that. Okay. We got, who is this? This is the My Florida Boys Boss. What's your take on 5G and what are some good tech companies to get involved with to profit from right now? Ooh, some good 5G companies. There's a couple of good ones out there. I can't remember off the top of my head. But thank you for commenting. I'm not going to be able to get into that one because we're getting late into the show, all right? But definitely thank you for tuning in. I might have to do an episode on 5G. Let me write that down. Investing into the 5G industry. Kevin says, every time I panic, I hear this content and I come back down to earth. I'll continue to be patient. Thanks. Lindell Moore said, great advice, Prince. Thanks. Appreciate it, Lindell. And that's always great when you get advice. You know, people tell you doing a good job from your peers. I appreciate it. Michael Davis. What's going on, Michael Davis? He says, just wait. We're not out of the woods just yet. I'm picking up deals now along the dollar cost averaging. Yes. So you're buying something every month, the first of the month. If you get paid every 2 weeks, buy a little bit. Don't go crazy. Put some money in savings and wait. I don't think we, you know, I would rather wait for it. Proud Dead, there's a lot of manipulation in the gold market. Yeah, I can see that. They can't let gold take off too fast because that means the dollar is tanking. That will repeat 2008 and gold will go through the roof. Yeah, that's a good philosophy too. Lionel Moore said, BRK is very undervalued. That's Berkshire Hathaway. Yes, Berkshire Hathaway has more cash on hand than majority of companies out there publicly. So I don't know why is that, I don't know why is that undervalued. Brian Mack, he said, what's up? You know what, Brian Mack, he asked me on Friday, hey, man, you think you should get XPXL? Man, that would have been a nice run today, but I missed it. I missed it. I can't pick them all. I pick some wrong sometimes, but I did not. And the reason why, it was too risky. It was too risky of a call. Even though I knew we could have had a bounce back next this week, it was too risky. And when it's risky, I'd rather keep my money than lose it. I'd rather have zero returns than to absorb a loss. And the worst thing you can do is make money off of a bad, what you call it. So he said, are the airlines a good buy yet? Let's wait on the airlines. I think coming up here, is it next week? We're going to start getting our corporate earnings reports. So the airline industry, JETS, Delta, You know, everybody saw Warren Buffett just dumped a bunch of, not a bunch, he dumped 13% of his holdings in Delta and Southwest Airlines. It could have been a move to free up some capital. I don't know what his thought process was, but, you know, he dumped a lot of that. So I will wait. I will wait. Let's wait to see what their finances look like, and let's see how the stimulus work. Ladies and gentlemen, we could be on the courser of, on the curse, on the course to the recession. We're going to get our GDP numbers in April, right? At the end of April 29th is going to be our GDP number. And if we have two quarters of a decline in GDP, ladies and gentlemen, that is a recession. So I can definitely see the first quarter, this quarter here, since they're going to count some of March, I can see that as a decline. And as that happens again come July, then we're in a recession. So ladies and gentlemen, we could be hitting a recession this summertime. It could be a cold summer. So be patient on that. Oh, Deadly Reverse said, no, I'm not from India. Back in my Navy Day ships once ported in India. Oh, okay. She said, that's the reason I know their currency is called. And I learned the powder. I learned the power of Indian curry. Nice. Okay. Let's try to get through these. Mario Evans, what's going on? Shout out to Mario Evans. He is somebody that has supported us as well. Thank you for purchasing the whole autograph series. I definitely appreciate that. He says, what's good, King? Keep spitting this knowledge. Definitely, I appreciate it. Keisha from New York, you have to invest at your own discretion at this point. It's the luck of the draw. Invest wisely. Biometrics and medical supplies are hot right now, but very risky. I don't get into the whole hot right now stocks. Zoom is hot. Clorox wipes are hot. You know, they floods out. I'm not going to try to jump on who's hot. You know, once all this kind of goes down, Clorox is going to plateau. These medical supply companies are going to plateau. But for right now, yes, it's a good season for them, but I'm not going to do that. But you do have to invest at your own discretion. I'm just trying to help you drive. I'm just trying to give you financial education to show you your options and ways to invest and give you literacy with my own little salt and pepper on it. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it. Lionel said, thanks for the shout out. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Lionel Moore. Lance Morgan said, E-Trade charged me wash sales. I don't know what that means right there. Whatever. Jeremy Houston says, what's up? That's my guy right there, Jeremy. We came in the Navy together. What's going on there, Jeremy Houston? He said, what's up, my dude? Good info, bro. Anytime. Michael said, videos are great. Thank you. Anytime. Big Mac said, it's all good, bro. Yep. The Tech Monkey said, when I feel anxious about the stock market, I watch your channel and get the real deal. I appreciate that, Tech Monkey. Thank you for saying how it is. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we got to take the actual data, see what it is, not what everybody says. Because you got to think about it. Financial media, you make a lot of money when you sensationalize it. James Bond, Boeing earnings April 22nd. Yep, April 22nd, Boeing's earnings. We're going to see how they're going to look. Mr. Jim said, what is BRK? It's ridiculous, the same price. BRK is Warren Buffett's company called Berkshire Hathaway. Yes, his Class A stock is about $300,000, right? That's for one share is a house. That's his Class A. But his Class B, BRKB, is around about 170, something like that. That's Berkshire Hathaway's company. Michael says, which of your books do you recommend to read first? These are children's books, by the way. Wesley Learns to Invest. That's my son. This is a children's book series. So, of course, my bestseller and one that everybody knows me for is Wesley Learns to Invest, my very first one that was published in 2015. Some people like my latest book, 2019, because it stars NFL Hall of Famer Terrell Davis. It's about insurance. But it's a great way to introduce financial literacy to children. All right, I think I'm almost at the bottom here. Deadly Rebel says, oh boy, Boeing. I want to say they're doing okay considering who some of their main customers are, but this isn't our normal kind of situation. Yes, Boeing stock has gotten beaten up because they're close to the airline industry. And, you know, being in the airline industry, it's a big, big, what you call it, right? It's a big, big problem. So, yeah, that's what I would do with that. Michael laughs. And Michael, I would say that if you're a new investor, I like The Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham. I liked the latest book I read was a good one. You might like Unstoppable Prosperity by Charles Payne of Fox Business. You have, who's another good one? I need to write all this down. Seven Ways to Master Your Money by by Tony Robbins. Investing Demystified by Lawrence Croger. Five Mistakes That Every Investor Makes by Peter Molloch. That's a great one. Five Mistakes That Every Investor Makes by Peter Molloch. That's a good one. Who else? And I got so much stuff on my, in the current book I'm reading, that was a 10K book, but we'll get into it. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I've been on here for an hour and a half. Wesley did not come down today, but I hear his footsteps upstairs. He's probably tearing the house up. But anyway, let me get up there. Let me go see about him. Thank you guys and girls for tuning in. Hopefully you got grabbed something out of this. Whatnot. Hope you enjoyed it. Heads you win, tails. Okay. But anyway, hopefully you guys and girls got something out of this. Thanks for everybody for tuning in. Until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else you see me do crazy around the globe. Peace, be safe. I'm out. Thank you.